guys, welcome back. There are a lot of horrifying flicks on Netflix. What are they? You gotta stay tuned. Right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Does this remind anyone of Sweet Home Alabama, or is it just me?
No, it has that same rhythm.
Cool. Southern rock. Yeah, you're there.
This is cool. Nice choice. Can you do the oh?
Hey, Ashley, can you do the... Oh, wait, never mind.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay.
Hey, guys, welcome back. You are watching Netflix Picks. I'm Rick Hong, and on the other side of the table, I have Steve Kaufman.
I am, in fact, present, although I haven't seen a lot of Netflix this week.
And we have Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hello.
And Ashley Chaney will be back next week. She's so scared because it's the Halloween month. She doesn't like talking about horror movies, anything that's scary. So she said, hey guys, can I like not be a part of the panel today? Because we're going to be talking about a lot of scary flicks. And that sounds like her, right?
You nailed that, Ashley Chaney.
No, not at all. All right. Ashley, we miss you. Come back soon, please.
All right, guys. Netflix film, original television, Netflix original film and television. Yeah. Amy, I'm going to start with you. You watched Creeped Out.
Mm-hmm. So this is, I actually found out about Creeped Out just by scrolling. It was in the suggested, and I'd seen it before, but I don't know, something about it just didn't interest me. And I finally clicked on it, and it's an anthology kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's great, I think, for people that are wanting to be in the Halloween spirit but don't want to dedicate themselves for like a whole lot of stuff. It is right now one season, and there are 13 episodes. Each one's about like 26 minutes. So
it's kind of an easier watch.
Super easy. Yeah. So I saw the first few, but honestly, the first one is actually really good. It's a mix between Her and something else that's pretty scary.
Is it similar? Is it Twilight Zone-y in an anthology that you don't have to have seen all of it?
Yes, except for the last two. So the last two are part one and part two.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's actually pretty scary. And so if you've seen Her by Spike Jones, the phone basically like takes over, and it's
awesome.
It's really cool.
I'm
so I really
sold.
Recommend that one.
I'm sold.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely also sold watch on it. This. Yeah, the second episode's pretty cool. The third one is pretty. Yeah, actually, no, the second one's even better.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I can't even pick anymore because they're what?
How many did you make it through? All the whole season?
Three. Okay. I had to pace myself because there's a lot to watch.
And we have theoretically like what 2 weeks left before Halloween?
No, not
like
even.
A week left.
10 days.
Great.
So there's plenty of time. You could watch these easily in an afternoon.
I prefer to watch it like at like 11 o'clock p.m.
But. Well, yeah, but I want you guys to stay up and like finish it. So yeah, you can totally do that. Yeah, it's really good.
Well, keeping with the Halloween theme, I watched Haunted.
Okay.
And this is, it's interesting because back in the day there was a TV show called Unsolved Mysteries. They played with a lot of creepy music, and Unsolved Mysteries was on NBC. It's a scary show because it's all these like unsolved mysteries about things that happened in real life. You know, murders, kidnappings, like spirit, like, you know, ghosts, hauntings. And so that was really good. So Haunted basically has a person, like say like me, mm-hmm. and then like they put you in a room with like family members and friends.
I'm already scared.
And then you talk about something that has been traumatic. Like, so like I watched episode one, and it's all about this guy who moved into this like place when he was a kid with his parents, and what he didn't, so he kept seeing like this scary woman who like kept haunting him from the closet, and he like lived there for like 6 years. And
why would you live there for 6 years?
Well, no, and he tried telling his parents, and his parents like wouldn't believe him and everything. And then he found out later on that right before they moved in, a murder had taken place.
Yeah.
And so like all these like different things, like the pieces of like what he was being haunted by was the story. And then he's like talking about how once they moved, he thought, okay, now I'm free of this like entity and everything. And then like, but it still kind of continues to follow him. And this episode is about 22 minutes. And so, yes, but it's basically like you're just kind of telling your friends and family, like, this is something that's been going on in my life. And it's been a thing. And then like it ends, and then like it goes to like a new story for the next episode.
But it ends. Is there any kind of resolution at all?
And he's just still, he's still haunted by it.
I don't want to get dirty like that.
What the heck?
Netflix. So if and this is like true, like true story. Like if you want and during the time,
it sounds like it burns you, man.
And so the reason I brought up Unsolved Mysteries is because they reenact, like in Unsolved Mysteries, they did a very, very good job of reenacting whatever was going on with the crime or the murder or the haunting. And so with this one, they reenact. So like when the person's telling the story, there's like a whole reenactment. So like there's actors, one person like maybe being like the entity, like another person just being terrified and kind of how it looks. So
that's terrifying, man.
Yeah, it's real. And for the Halloween season, I would definitely recommend it. But it's interesting because like, I couldn't help keep comparing it to like the 80s series. And like, I guess maybe because the 80s series is more like there are a lot of things that are like still more real. Whereas like with like when it comes to spiritual stuff like Halloween, ghosts and this and that, it's tough to say. You know,
Well, there's some believers and there's some that don't believe.
Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that I don't quite 100% believe, but just more it's like, you know, so, but I recommend that one. So you were talking about Creeped Out. Yeah. This is a different version. Like Creeped Out scripted.
This
is unscripted, but it's...
Well, and I should say Creeped Out is... Most of the actors in there are younger, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it can't be scary. But not as scary as that, for sure. That just terrified me. But I might have to check it out. I don't know.
Well, speaking of... So then I'm going to ground everything in something that's based on a true story. Making a Murder Part 2 dropped. And just like I said, I ended up binging the whole thing. I knew that I would not be able to stop watching it because that's exactly what happened with season one for me. Mm-hmm. And you literally cannot write all the crazy things that happen. And so in season one, this guy, Stephen Avery, mm-hmm. When he's younger, he is accused of murdering this woman. And 18 years later, after he's been in prison, they have a DNA test and they find out that he was not guilty. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody else who like they tried to finger in the first time around and say, that wasn't me, it was somebody else. And this is the description and people ignored it. So he gets freed. So now he's free and does a civil lawsuit against, you know, the county that he's from in Wisconsin, wins $36 million. So he's free for about 15 years.
Holy moly.
And then another murder happens on his property, and it involves all the same types of cops and judges that had convicted him from the first one. And there's a whole conspiracy about corruption, like law corruption, and then also because of the payout. You know, because now that he's back in jail, like they don't, like the state, the county, everything doesn't have to pay him $36 million. And so
why don't they have to pay him $36 million? He was wrongfully accused and then won a
civil. Because he's back in jail for murder.
But it's a different murder.
But yeah, but like
he was exonerated of a murder.
He's a criminal. So yeah. They don't have to pay for it.
I'm going to go to the least scary part of this, which is Lawyer Steve of like, I guess there must be some type of indemnity for committing crime, but then. I don't know. Sorry.
You lose all rights once you commit. So anyway,
it's weird. This is what attracted me to the story, but go on.
So in this season, so after season one, a lot of notoriety. Mm-hmm. So he gets the best criminal defense attorney, joins this case, on. She has overturned 17 wrongful convictions, and she's like, I think, the highest paid attorney in terms of civil lawsuits after those. So she takes this things on, it takes this stuff on, and now you see a whole approach of her when you have the resources and the ability to recreate all these different scenarios and everything. Because half the time, because you know it's a game between attorneys and like who has the resources and the time to dedicate towards a case. Mm-hmm. She has it all, and the stuff that unravels in season two, you cannot write. What happens in this? I mean, it's like one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
See, I started watching Making a Murder Part 1, but I didn't finish it. I don't know what it was about it, but I mean, I totally want to get back into it and do that. Would you say that this season is better than the first?
It's a continuation. It's a long journey. Like I wouldn't look at it as like, I know it's part one, part two,
right?
But it's a continuation of the same story. So there is no kind of like a drop off after season one and then picking it up. I feel like it's still like a symphony. Like it's still going. Mm-hmm. The song is still getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Holy
so
two questions. Yeah. One, could I start on season two having only watched the previously on for season one?
You would be doing discounting. You'd be doing yourself a huge injustice because they can't fill in all those holes. Like they'll try, but your curiosity. Mm. If you jump into season two, your curiosity is gonna lead you back to season one.
Two, after his inevitable second civil suit, he's gonna move out of Wisconsin, right? They clearly
Wisconsin. If he's able to get this stuff overturned and everything, yes,
he'd get a second settlement. Yes. He'd have hundreds of millions of dollars, even after he paid a high priced attorney. I hear Rhode Island's nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that's one of the issues. It's one of those things of where if he just would have left the state, if he just would have left the state, even moved to a different county, a different city, he probably would have been okay.
Mm.
But the fact that he stayed in the same very place. And so,
oh my gosh. Season one
was 13 episodes.
Yeah.
And each episode is like an hour. This is 10 episodes. Each episode is an hour.
Okay.
So I watched a lot of Making a Murder. And it's one of those things where when I think after I finished it, I go to bed at night and I'm dreaming about the craziness of the case. Gosh. So, but moving on, another big release, and we'll be talking about this a lot at AfterBuzz TV. So Amy and I are going to touch briefly on it.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil season three. We both just watched the first episode. Yeah. Amy, go.
Yeah, okay, so obviously everyone's slightly freaked out about all the cancellations with Marvel, Netflix shows.
Which we'll be talking about in news.
Uh-huh. So stay tuned for that.
Mm.
But season three of Daredevil kicked off wonderfully. It's fantastic. There was a lot of trailers for it, and they gave us a little peek, you know, each little time. And it was going to be dark. It was going to rely heavily on religion, Catholicism. And yeah, I mean, it was going to be pretty cool, just like it was in the last couple of seasons. And I love how they transitioned from the Defenders into the first episode. And I feel like we didn't really miss a beat. And just to see Foggy and Karen, oh my gosh, it was so nice to see them. And of course, Fisk, I love him so much. But yeah, I think they're doing a really good job. I wish I could be watching it right now, but it's okay because I'm here with you guys having a blast. but yeah, I think they did a really good job making it just as good as far as like the quality as the last couple of seasons, the plot, the characters, everything is fantastic. And there's a lot of really amazing shows on Netflix right now that it's kind of like,
trying to balance. I mean, just even this month with all the Halloween stuff, just trying to balance it all.
But we're
going to be having AfterBuzz. We'll have an after show for Daredevil. And Amy, like you cover, so they'll be talking about it as well.
Yeah. So tonight I won't be there, but they will be talking about Daredevil. I know there's a very special guest that is going to be there. Not related to Daredevil, but still really, really cool. If you guys are a fan of Marvel movie news, you will recognize the voice of Doom. Anyway, it's pretty cool. So I'm excited.
And what I always appreciate with, they do a very, very good job of recapping.
Yeah,
they do a very good job of recapping the Daredevil story, season one, season two, and then incorporating the Defenders so that you're not completely lost or like you don't feel like you need to like go back and say like, wait, what happened here? What happened there? So that you can just kind of just jump in and start watching.
Mm-hmm. And Marvel TV Weekly is on AfterBuzz Sci-Fi Superheroes Fantasy channel at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So make sure you guys watch.
Yeah, what else, Amy, can these guys, our audience, you guys do for us?
You guys. Well, hey, what's up? Our network produces AfterBuzz. We're AfterBuzz. We produce aftershows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans like you. So we do need your help, though. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So as many as you'd like, really. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow, which would be super awesome if you did. If you are worried, though, about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're completely optional. So all you need to do is hit that subscribe button that's right here for this channel, and just check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments right there, and we'll thank you on air. That rhymes. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Awesome. All right. Now, so for non-Netflix releases, film and television. Amy, you actually watched something that I really enjoyed back in the day.
Yeah. Oof.
She's Out of My League.
Yeah. Okay. So this is one of those movies that I don't know what happened. It just kind of like, I don't know. I missed it. It wasn't on my radar.
Well, we established that you weren't born yet when it was initially
released.
That's right.
I'm only 5
years
old.
That's true. That's true.
It's very true.
I'm only like 3. Yeah. So it started and I was like, okay, let's do this. It was one of those movies where you kind of just have it on in the background because you don't want to watch something that takes a lot of commitment like Daredevil or like a horror
movie.
It's
not cerebral, like something really cerebral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it started off and I was like, that is freaking Typhoid Mary from, what did we just watch?
She's Out of My League.
Nope. Hold on.
Daredevil?
Iron Fist.
Okay.
Iron Fist. And I was
Alice Eve.
Typhoid Mary from Iron Fist. And I was like, what? And then we see freaking Kristen Ritter, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, and their besties in the movie. And I'm like, this is great. I mean, I couldn't have watched this at a better time. It's a cute movie. It's nice. It has a little bit more heart than I thought it would.
It's got Jay Baruchel, a very young, skinnier TJ Miller.
Yeah, he looks younger.
And skinnier.
I've actually seen this fairly recently, and this was one of those movies that I enjoyed in, I believe, 2009 or 2010 when it came out, that on its surface, I feel like, ooh, man, that would not age well. Like, the premise of the film would not age well. And then I watched it, and I'm like, actually, the rating system in the film is based on the whole person.
Yeah.
It actually ages really well where they're not, when they talk about how, oh, I'm a solid 8, where I'm a solid 7, like, they're not just talking about their looks, they're talking about who they are as a human.
Yeah.
And a human, and to another human. And then the moral was that that rating is flawed to begin with, and you should just go with your heart. And, like, I don't know. It's a good movie.
It's beautiful. It's really nice. And, yeah, like, I love the chemistry between Alice Eve and him. And it's just, I don't know. I think we're so obsessed with how we look, like appearance-wise, obviously, and what we do, that this really gives you a little bit of meat to the story. Mm. And then at the end, like, he ends up going for what he wants to do, and it's really cute. I wish I would have seen it earlier, but again, Jessica Jones, Typhoid Mary, what? That's crazy.
No, I mean, so did the rating thing pop up for you to say, like, this or that? Because, I mean, right, because Alice Eve and Kristen Ritter, I mean, they're part of the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
So, at least the Marvel Netflix universe.
Mm-hmm. Netflix should have been like, girl, you gotta watch this right now. But I don't think it was super clear. It was just, I was really looking for something to just put on and do something else. So I'm glad I did finally.
No, I'm glad you watched it. I enjoyed it back in the day, so I'm glad that you watched it.
Yeah. I'm also happy that this was one of the final years you could get away with making just a $30 million comedy because people were still buying DVDs. So I like that in those days we made so many good ones.
Yeah,
like I'm sure we'll talk about a lot on this show when it comes to revisits and re-releases.
Because mm-hmm. Steve's like 50, so.
Yeah, for real. But that I'm happy we will still have a lot of them to talk from that time because they just don't make movies like that anymore.
Yeah, I think these kind of fall into a little category of you think they're kind of like cheesy, stupid, but they actually have a little bit of heart and they might not have like, you know, Oscar award winners, but that doesn't mean anything because as long as they're giving it their all and you're like relating to the characters, that's all that matters. You
it's
know?
Like a feel good afternoon if you're just doing nothing to pop on and just put yourself in a good mood. But yeah, right. You don't have to think too hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It just happens.
Yeah, you can mix your popcorn and your M&Ms and everything and just chomp away.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, we've been talking about the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about the animated DC Universe, which does a very, very, very good job with their characters normally. And I've been watching a lot of them through the past couple of years. One that popped up for me was Batman, Bad Blood. So in this animated version, it's in the Batman universe. Batwoman is in it. Not Batgirl. Batman. Well, to a degree. Batwoman.
Okay.
And also Batman's son, who plays Robin, has Robin as Nightwing. And the villain is Talia al Ghul. Or like, who's Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Yeah,
like, who in the movie version, if you watched Dark Knight Rises, it's Marion Cotillard plays that character.
Okay.
And it's this universe. And you have to, you kind of, Yeah, you kind of have to know the comic version or like kind of follow the animated version. But it makes me just sit here and think if the live action could take a note from how they do these, mm-hmm. just a little bit more, the DC universe might not be as bad as it is right now.
What do you mean?
Like, we know we all kind of agree right now that like Superman's in a funk. They crapped out with Justice League.
Well, they crapped out with the whole universe after Justice League, where they're like, this isn't a universe anymore. We screwed it up.
Yeah, but if they followed the kind of the footprint of the animated movies and how they write the animated movies, I mean,
I think it's more than a note, though. I think they should have used the animated universe as a template of exactly how to do it. Of this is how you introduce it, like this, and what it was is I don't think Warner Brothers was really prepared to put in the pre-production work that it takes. That pre-production on your first Superman movie is also pre-production on an entire like cinematic universe. And if you don't do that, the more movies you wait to actually build a cinematic universe, the harder and more impossible it becomes to actually do it.
Yeah, and a lot of these movies, I mean, the animated versions are not theatrical, so like the risk isn't as big. Mm. And I think it's just like it's a step in between the comics or the graphic novels, and then like this is kind of like the middle step before mm-hmm. live action. So because like these normally get like a DVD Blu-ray release, mm. and then I guess this is like one of the first. And I guess not really, but this one dropped on Netflix. So I was curious to watch it, and I enjoyed it. And these like run because it's animation. It runs probably like an hour and an hour and 15 minutes or so. Not quite an hour and a half, like an hour and 10. Mm-hmm.
Also, when it comes to animation right now, you can get some of the purest storytelling because in something like this, there are so fewer hands involved, so fewer people. I don't want to say care, but like so fewer people are involved to muddle it. When it's animated, the writer writes it and then they go and animate it. There's not any of the additional problems that come with actually staging live action. So for better or worse, when you see something that's animated in today's like marketplace, you're actually seeing what a creator intended. So you get stuff like this where it's like, this is amazing.
Well, hey, Steve, let me ask you a question. Where else can people find us besides watching us live right now?
Well, they can come to this address that I will not name publicly and see us personally.
No.
Just kidding. They can also find us on iTunes. Mm-hmm. They can find us on Spotify.
Woohoo!
They can find us on YouTube, obviously, which mm-hmm. they can watch us not live or live, depending. But the people who are watching us live in the chat, we've got Star Drew.
Star
Drew,
we love
Brad,
having you.
2007-112. We've got Zias B. Lou in the chat.
Hey, Zias, what up, man?
He said, sup, guys. I said, hey, Zias, and then realized I'm signed in under my work account. So,
oh.
Cool. That was me. Star Drew recommended Gotham by Gaslight, which I also recommend.
Cool.
As an animated thing. A lot of ways. You got to rate us 5 stars. That's very important to rate us 5 stars. None of the other stars work. You got to hit the like button. You got to hit the subscribe button. You got to do all the fun things to support the show so we can continue.
Give us a comment. We'll give you a shout out, but we always give you guys a shout out because we always appreciate you tuning in anyways. Hidden Gems on Netflix or some revisits. Amy, you watched, I love this one too.
Yeah. Look,
we're on the same wavelength right now.
Yeah.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah, this is most definitely a revisit because this is a great movie. It's fantastic. I don't know. This is one of those movies that I always turn to when I want to feel like home, if that makes sense. Because I used to watch these movies growing up.
Because Matthew McConaughey's from Texas. Hey, all right, y'all. All right, all right.
Yeah. Well, these were the movies that I grew up watching. So this is like my home of rom-coms. And yeah, it still holds up. It still is amazing. I think Kate Hudson, she just actually had a baby. I think she needs to be in more things, but if she doesn't want to, that's okay. I think that
they have like in this movie, they just have really solid, good chemistry and just them just trying to like one up each other. It's the writing, the directing. I mean, I wish more movies were made like this, but mm-hmm. they're just not. This one's one of the good written, fun movies.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and I love Kate Hudson's job in this. Like obviously it gets really tricky because if you haven't heard of the plot, she's basically trying to convince this guy that like she learns how to lose a guy in 10 days. Ta-da! For her magazine, where she like she works. It's not her own magazine. And then he's basically trying to prove that he can make a girl fall in love with him. And so it's very, very tricky. But I loved it because even growing up, I was like, I want to be in a workplace. Like, she is in a workplace like that. You know, they have cubicles and they have all these things. And it's like, that's just what shapes you. So I always like to, you know, every now and then go back and watch a movie that I grew up watching and revisit. Mm. And hopefully I still like it. And I still like this one. Mm. So it's good.
I think this one actually does hold up. But yeah. I do have a very hot take.
Okay.
Failure to Launch is a better movie.
No! Failure to Launch is
get away from
awful.
Here.
Bring it.
What the heck?
Please Steve put Kaufman. In the comments. Steve Kaufman is a failure to launch.
Holy
that movie is awful
moly.
Compared to this one, man.
I am offended on so many levels right now, but
oh, that's
I'm
gross, dude.
Okay, look.
Time will tell on this statement.
No. I'm glad that you love a rom-com or that you like you love you
I enjoy both of these movies. I just think narratively fair to like
oh that's hurting me but I like that you enjoyed a rom-com that wasn't this one as well.
Okay. I enjoy a lot of rom-coms.
I'm trying to find the positive right now because I am so no flabbergasted positive. Right now.
There is no positive. All right, Netflix news. Everything that happened this past week. So Amy teased it at the top of the hour, so we're going to be talking about it right now.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about how there is no Iron Fist season 3, and they just said that there's like a lot of creative differences behind the scenes. Therefore, there is also no Luke Cage season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I had too much hubris last week in my celebratory nature about Iron Fist not getting season 2. I'm very sad to hear about Luke Cage season 3.
So let's talk about this topic for a second. So we know kind of how the mythology works for these guys.
Yeah.
So do we think instead, is it smarter to do maybe an 8-episode arc of Heroes for Hire where it's Luke and Iron Fist together? They're dynamic. They have whatever mission and they do it together.
I think Disney is trying to get out of this Netflix deal with canceling shows like this. So if we do see a Heroes for Hire show, it's going to be on that Disney streaming service.
Yeah.
I don't think either IP on its own, either Iron Fist or Luke Cage, is a strong enough intellectual property to warrant just a full-blown next season on there. So
you wouldn't want it like they did with the Defenders. 8 episodes doesn't work for you.
8 episodes of Luke Cage would absolutely work for me. I think what would happen is on the Disney streaming service, they have so many IPs to like they could do an entire Breaking Bad like season of Boba Fett. Like, the IP is just too strong. Like, they could do a 6-part miniseries about Loki. So, to tell me that Luke Cage could compete in that market by himself, I love him, but I don't see that happening. So, Heroes for Hire is the only way these two characters come back.
Well, I mean, I disagree because I think they're both awesome. And I think that the second season of Iron Fist was so much better and people
way better.
Were so happy about that. But I'm not worried about them. I really do think that we're going to see them either in Heroes for Hire, on Disney. Like, it's going to happen. So I'm not worried. It's just kind of sad because that kind of way that we were absorbing them has changed. But Jessica Jones, I'm crossing my fingers for you, girl. I think we're okay.
Well, she got season 3.
She did?
She
for
has
sure.
it. Oh, no, they're filming. Does. She yes. definitely has season 3.
That's true, actually.
She has season 3. Daredevil has season 3.
Well,
yeah.
So, and Defenders has a season 2, right? So
we're not sure yet.
No, okay,
I don't think they've announced that.
No.
So, I mean, okay, so Netflix is starting to kind of like, they're getting rid of some of their original series that have been, yeah, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, at least from the Marvel world. Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
It's finally on. Steve, I know Steve Gavin, you're happy about this one. It's finally on its last season. Season 7
honestly,
is the last.
If people still enjoy this show, I'm happy for them. They can have their show. I thought creatively it lost so much steam I stopped watching it after 3, so I'm not the best person to talk about it.
Got it. And Netflix also added 7 million subs, so they are, you know, they're still growing. They're still growing, like beating estimates, and they're becoming a behemoth. Finally, next week, top 3 upcoming releases. I think all 3 of us know this firsthand, and Steve Kaufman and I will talk about this next week, but The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
What are you talking about? Me too.
Our experiences at the pop-up.
Yes.
We're going to talk about it next week.
Sorry, like, yes.
We'll talk about that next
hello?
Week.
Yeah.
And then Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj.
He's a comedian.
He came from...
He came from the Daily Show.
From the Daily Show, he's had some of his own specials on Netflix. So this is his next one.
Cool.
And then finally, I'm going to take it a little different twist in Castlevania season 2 for the anime fans out there.
Hey. Mm.
Season 1 was really good, so I look forward to seeing this. And it's appropriate that all this drops near Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I know. And Halloween is not this coming week, but the week after that. So next weekend will be the last weekend in October.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, in the meantime, Amy Cassandra Martinez, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ.
Steve?
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.
Hey, guys, and I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-E-C-K-H-O-N-G. We'll see if Ashley Chaney makes it next week because she's so scared of all this programming. And you guys can always find her at Ashley on Camera. Until next week, Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.